Praise him, praise him, praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Praise him.
Yeah.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Glory, glory,
yeah.
In all things, give him glory. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, he's worthy, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy to be praised.
Father God, we come before your presence as we honor and magnify you. We thank you, Lord God, for this day and another opportunity
to proclaim
what thus says the Lord. Now, Father, we pray by your power, your grace, as well as your provision, that you would now breathe on me. Fill me now, Lord God, with spirit anew.
You've anointed me to say and do what you've anointed me to do. We glorify you in the highest, for truly you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all honor, and you're worthy of all glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray, amen.
Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to.
Amen. Let church say amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, there's a word from the Lord that is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, a familiar passage of Scripture, one that we have shared on many occasions, but there's always something new and explosive in God's Word because God's Word is active and alive. And if you've ever dug into God's Word, you see from a practical standpoint, how God is still speaking to his people today. The Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter and verse 18. Matthew 28 and 18. And when you found it, say amen. If you need more time, say wait a minute. Charles said wait a minute. Matthew 28 and 18. Where we find these words which are recorded. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Thank you. You may be seated. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want to use our topic this morning. All power and greatness are in his hand. All power and greatness are in his hand. And that's exclusive because it's shared that God has power. We live in a world today where men are power brokers. It is evidence as we share on news how men are all over the world desire to have power and their desire to have greatness. They desire to have power, control, and authority at the expense of those who are less fortunate or at the expense of those who are underrepresented. But Jesus tells us a story concerning power. Jesus came into this world to save man from their sins, and that's powerful. No one else could do what Jesus did. No one could apply the methodology that he used because he was the maker, the creator, the sustainer of all things. Because the historical text tells us in this scripture, Jesus speaks of something called the Great Commission, and all pastors and preachers and ministers and laypersons should be aware of the Great Commission, because not only is it applicable to the pulpit, but it is applicable to you to go and make disciples. And each one of us here today are a disciple of the Word of God that have been spread abroad and spread internally as we share God's Word under what we call the dispensation of grace of the church age. And the church age is a time and a period in which we are living in today, where we are those whom God has watched, looked at, and saw coming from a distant past. And the God that we serve is a powerful God. We are told at the completion of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus gave his final marching orders to his disciples. And Jesus spoke to them saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus spoke of power both in heaven and in earth, on earth. And this power that Jesus now have was given or delegated to him by God the Father. If we explore, my brothers and sisters, the word power, it can be thought of in the original Greek. It is called exousia, or it can be called dunamis. This power, this glorious power, exousia means authority. It can also be thought of in terms of jurisdiction or dominion over a certain realm, right, privilege, or ability. It is like, my brothers and sisters, a judge who has jurisdiction or who has authority over his courtroom. You're missing it. And when the judge comes in to his courtroom, the bailiff says, "All rise, for the authority has come." When Jesus, my brothers and sisters, comes again, we will all rise because of the authority of our Lord, our God, and our King. You missed it. If here on earth we have judges, when that judge comes into his courtroom, the bailiff said, "All rise, for authority is here." And when Jesus returns again, we who are alive will all rise, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is arriving. Throughout the history of the world, there have always been questions concerning who God is and God's power or God's authority. But God is real. God, who is real, established and created or made all that is real. You'll catch that on your way home. To the scientists who believe that life began on earth by a series of progressive chemical reactions. The scientists do not explain how these chemical reactions got into existence. To the evolutionists who believe that all things just evolved. But to the evolutionists, the question is, who started all things to evolve or come into existence? My Bible tells me in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It did not just evolve. God spoke it. He barred it into total existence. To the atheists who believe that all things just came about, they believe, my brothers and sisters, that they believe that there is no God, rather. And we ask, then how did man come into being? I shared a few weeks back in Bible study how God gave Moses his laws regarding how we are to live and how we are to be regulated and how we are to act and how we are to treat one another in his Ten Commandments. Written, my brothers and sisters, with his finger on Mount Sinai, he gave his laws, his rules, his regulations. And these laws, these commandments were what we call conditional. God was saying, I'm establishing something here for you to do this, but you have to do your part in abiding by those laws. They were conditional in that blessings which God promises are directly related to Israel's obedience to the Mosaic law. We are told if Israel is obedient, then God will bless them. But if they disobey, then God will punish them. Those are the conditions. In Genesis, my brothers and sisters, God establishes something through what we call the Abrahamic covenant that we are still receiving today. And that Abrahamic covenant, it's something that deals with faith, because it says that if we have faith, it is accredited for us for righteousness. Galatians 3, 24 and 26 state, wherefore the law, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith, God's unmerited favor, or God's inexhaustible supply of goodness, or God's redemption at Christ's expense. But verse 25 says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. We are all children of God by faith in Christ. My brothers and sisters, God was in the process of establishing an unconditional covenant that God said, you can't do what I require and under the condition. I'll provide something under an unconditional covenant where you can have everything that you need by faith. My brothers and sisters, we now move towards the kingdom of God by faith. Not under the law, but by God's unmerited favor. We are told that the Mosaic law would reveal to the people their sinfulness and their need for a savior. And it is the Mosaic law that Christ himself said that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. This is an important point, Antioch, because some people get confused by thinking that keeping the laws saved people in the Old Testament. But the Bible is clear that salvation has always been by faith alone. and the promise of salvation.